بالخمسة هم أصحاب الكساء وبالتسعة هم النجباء. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم به نستعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject is the Sirat of the Prophet, the history, the life of the Prophet. And Allah is saying in the Quran that the best example for you is in the Messenger of Allah. And for the past year we have been discussing this, and we had reached the stage that the Prophet has been appointed to the seat of prophethood. The first revelation that came through Jibreel came in the cave of Hira. As I had mentioned before, that the revelation came by five means. One of those means was Jibreel. He wasn't the only one bringing the revelation. And when we looked at the revelation that came, the Prophet, after hearing the revelation, went home and went to his bed. He was given the responsibility of prophethood, of being the messenger of Allah. And the first thing he does is go to bed. And this itself is explaining the character of the Prophet. And one of the qualities that made him unique was the fact that the Prophet did not do anything, did not say anything, unless Allah told him to. Allah says in the Quran, مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This messenger doesn't say anything from himself. Whatever he says is a revelation that has been revealed to him. So whether that revelation comes in the form of ayats or whether it comes from the form of hadith, it is a revelation from Allah. And hence you see that the Prophet, after getting the burden of prophethood, Allah said, meaning announced his messenger, that now you are a messenger officially, but he hasn't given any further orders. That's why the Prophet now is waiting for Allah's command to come. That's when he sent the next set of ayat, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبِّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. He says, oh, you who is wrapped in his clothes, stand up and warn. And for your Lord, magnify him. And then you heard that he said Allahu Akbar, and then started the message of informing the people. The first person that he informed was his wife, Khadija. And he said that, I have been given the responsibility of prophethood. Do you believe that there is no God but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah? She accepted that, saying that, I've always knew it in my heart, now I'm going to say it with my tongue. I knew it was there in my heart. I knew you were the messenger. Now I'm going to say it with my tongue. And then after that, the next person that he had informed was his servant Zayd. Zayd bin Haritha. And Zayd bin Haritha then accepted Islam and read the Shahadat and believed in the Prophet. Then after that, the next person who accepted the message was a lady by the name of Lubaba, who was the wife of the uncle of the Prophet, Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. She accepted the message. And we see in all our history, there's no place where Ali had accepted the message. There's no place. There's no place in our history books where we say that Ali was the one who accepted the message. The fact is that those people accepted the message who were never Muslims before. That's why he was known as Karramallahu Wajhu. Right? Ask our brothers in Islam and they'll tell you. Why is Ali called Karramallahu Wajhu? Right? That his face is honored. Why? Because they also accept the fact that everyone prostrated before idols, but Ali never prostrated before idols. And hence we never see that Ali ever said that, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I accept it. This is the case. Right? And then I mentioned that history that, you know, is not ours. They say that Ali was informed, Ali said, I have to ask my father. Right? But that's not in our books. That's not in our books, right? Right? That's not in our books. So now, here we see that when these three accepted, and then message went on by different people, but the issue that Allah had informed the Prophet that go and propagate, but he made a condition. He said, you can propagate Islam, you can tell others, but do not do it openly. Do it secretly. Do it in a concealed manner that you don't open up and announce it openly. And for 3 years, we see that the Prophet, the method of propagation was a concealed propagation. The way he was propagating was in a secretive way. And Allah had informed him that, inform the deen to the people, but in a way that it doesn't get out. Only inform those that you see will listen to the message. You see, 3 years, the propagation was secret. those who accepted Islam were told, do not say this to anyone, except that you know that they're going to listen to you and accept the message. That they're going to listen to you and accept the message. And it's only after 3 years that the Prophet was ordered that now you can inform the people openly. Why? But before I come to that, 3 years, the propagation was done in a hidden way. Now, looking at the history that we had explained, right? You see that there were people there who were ready to accept the message. And the Prophet was asked to go and look for those people so that you can give the message to them. The wisdom behind it, my friends, my brothers, is this. That when you start off any mission, you are alone. You are alone. If you start to propagate the message of truth, then people will accept it. And then you will have to tend to everyone. And you will have to teach everyone who comes. And you know, this teaching and this training requires time. The Prophet might be infallible, but he also has 24 hours in a day. You see, he also has 24 hours in a day. It's not that he has an extra longer day than we do. He is also affected by time and has the same amount of time that we do. Now when you look at this situation, obviously you see that whenever a movement is started, the first thing that is done is that you train a core group of people who are educated in the religion.
Yes.
You get a group of people ready who know the religion, who know the ideology of the religion, who know the rules of religion, who know the goals of religion and the vision of religion. So that when you start propagating openly and people start coming in, you have enough people to teach those who are coming in. This is the method of propagation that Allah is teaching to us through the example of the Prophet. You need a group of people that are ready to explain Islam to others when they come in. If people start accepting Islam here and there, and there's no one out there to explain the deen, and then all you have is people who have their own understanding of religion and never learned religion, then obviously, you know, there's going to be chaos, and that's how, because of that ignorance, sects are formed.
Yeah,
right. You see? Look at the history of Islam in America and you'll know it. Why? When religion wasn't there, when the knowledge of religion wasn't there, and people began coming to Islam, what happened? Because there was ignorance and they didn't know what Islam was, and hence now they started to make up their own Islam. And hence made sects. And you know the different sects that came about. Splinter groups, sects, and all these things came out. Why? Because ignorance was there. No one was knowing what is Islam. So everyone who came a day before is the alim for the one who came the day later. So brother, when did you accept Islam? Oh, on this day. Oh, I accepted one day before you. You start teaching them Islam, right? So I know Islam for one more day than you do. Right? So obviously when these people became the teachers, and that's why you have sects. The first thing Allah did was to tell the Prophet, propagate silently, secretly, so that you can make this group of people. You can make a group of people who are going to be there to explain to others what Islam is. When new people will come in, they'll explain to them. Now, how would you know who to explain? My friends, this is also something you have to understand. Why and how did they approach those people? What are the signs you look for in those people? You see, As I explained before, there were groups of people that were discontented with the society they were living in. They were unhappy. They looked at the ignorance in the society, they were unhappy with that. They looked at the rituals, the ignorant rituals that were being taken place, they were unhappy with that. They're not satisfied with that. And whenever you get a group of people that are not satisfied with what is going on in the society, then you know that is the person to go and offer him alternatives. Right? You offer them the alternative. And say that, listen, you're unhappy. Why are you unhappy? Well, you know, look at this ignorance that's going on around here. Look at these rituals, you know, we don't believe in all this. Okay, so you're not happy with this, you're not satisfied with this. Well, here, I have another alternative. And you see, he will be more open to accept that. So here you see the Prophet and those who accepted Islam at the beginning were told to approach those people. Just approach those people who are ready for the message. Why? Because they are not satisfied with what is going on. They are unhappy with the ignorance that is prevailing in the society. So now you see you have this people that are ready to hear something new. The job of Islam at the beginning, of any movement at the beginning, is to go to those people so that you can make them listen and help them to accept. This is how you start the propagation. This is how you begin. Look for those people. And the reason they are dissatisfied is because in their own intelligence, through their own reasoning, they have come to this conclusion that what is going on is wrong. These are people who are more intelligent than the others in the society. And my friends, I'm telling you, I'm using the word intelligence, not educated. You see, it's two different things. Being educated is different than being intelligent. I explained this many times. Education has nothing to do with intelligence. In fact, people when they become educated become dumber. They become dumb by educating themselves. Education has nothing to do with intelligence. Intelligence is a whole different thing. And you see, what is intelligence? Intelligence means that a person is able to decide what is good for him and accept what is good for him. When someone educates themselves, they don't become liberated from their ignorance. They become a slave of another ignorance. They become a slave of another ignorance that they're learning in colleges. They become slaves of that society, that order, that group, that set of rules. They become a slave of that. You see, when they weren't educated, they were slaves to some other sets of rules. Now when they became educated, now they're slaves to another set of rules. But both of these things did not liberate them. What liberates a person is to make the right decision. And the right decision is to choose the hereafter over the life of this dunya. And that's why you see very highly educated people worshipping idols. They bow their heads before idols. If education had made you intelligent, why are you bowing before this idol? Education has nothing to do with intelligence. That's why a person who is completely uneducated, you will see, if he makes that right decision, and he makes the decision that is beneficial for him, you see, he's much more intelligent. So when we are looking for people to propagate to, we look for those intelligent people who through their own reasoning, they have decided that this that we are living in, this life that we are living in, this society we are living in, is not going the right way. This life is not going the right way. And then you approach those people. And hence, for 3 years, you see, the Muslims were told to go and approach those people. And you see, they used to go and talk silently. Don't even directly. First they will bring them into confidence and then tell them Islam. Not right away. Why? Because what if he doesn't accept it? He will go and tell others that this guy is saying this to me. You want to make sure that they are trustworthy before you say something to them. Before you open up to them and say this is Islam. You see, the first 3 years this is happening. Now as this is happening, in 3 years, in a total there were 134 Muslims. 114 men and 20 women. In 3 years of propagation. And you see, Allah made sure that He helped the Muslim by not revealing certain laws. For example, the law that if a woman is married to a non-Muslim, if she accepts Islam and becomes a Muslim, she has to leave the husband. She has to leave the husband. You can't stay with a non-Muslim husband. But Allah did not reveal that law. So that even though she accepted Islam, she stays with the non-Muslim husband, so that the news of this new religion doesn't come out to the people. The news of this religion doesn't come out to the people. These rules were not revealed, so that the Muslims can be protected. The prayer was known to the Muslims, but it wasn't wajib, it wasn't obligatory. They knew the rule, the law of prayer was there. They knew how to pray. But the obligation of prayer was not revealed to them. So at that time, prayer was mustahab for them. But the Muslims then used to pray it as though it was wajib. And they used to be very much inclined towards prayer because this is something that they wanted, they were looking for. And they used to pray. Even though it wasn't wajib, they used to pray. And every place they used to get together, they used to pray. But the Prophet gave strict orders that they cannot pray in the open, where others can see them. Because this order was given by the Prophet, the Muslims then used to go outside the city, look for a isolated area so that they can pray there. And they used to go out and pray in those places. One of these times that they were praying together, a person wandered upon them. He came upon them and he saw them. And he said, "What are you all doing?" You know, obviously this, what kind of rubbish is this? You all are all in a line getting up and down, this and that. Is, you know, not known to the people then. They didn't know how to pray. This is prayer, this and that. He's just looking at these people and says, you know, what are you all trying to do? You know, this and that. He's trying to make jokes about them. And he started ridiculing them. One of the Muslims at that time, by the name of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the earlier Muslims, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, who is the father of Umar ibn Sa'd. Right? He was one of the early Muslims. He couldn't handle the ridiculing, so he took a bone of an animal that he had, and he mashed it on his head. Broke open his head, person got injured, and obviously when he went back and, you know, his tribe heard about it, and the news spread that there's this group of people praying in a different way and something is going on. When the news, the rumor spread around, the Prophet was very upset. And now he banned the Muslims to pray anywhere together. And he appointed a house which is near the mountain of Safa. Safa and Marwa, right, are the two mountains that you go between when you want to do Hajj, the Sa'i in Hajj. So near Mount Safa there was a companion by the name of Akram. He appointed his house as the house of meeting and said that the Muslims can only gather at his house, nowhere else. If you are Muslims, you cannot gather together anywhere except his house. It was known as Darul Akram, Arqam. It was there 30 years before, but it was obviously 30 years ago it was demolished by the Wahhabis. The house was still there where the Muslims used to meet. Muslims used to meet there. This was the first place. This is the first place where you see send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
No, actually that is for me. Here, will you give me that?
That's for him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Send me one more salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Right? Darul Arkam. Why? It was the first place where the Muslims used to meet. It was not a masjid. This was the first Islamic center in Islam. This was the first Islamic center in Islam. It wasn't a masjid. The first masjid was built when he went to Medina. The first thing he built was an Islamic center. Said, this is the place where you will meet for prayers and speeches. Right? And made us understand that before you get to go and build masjids in a place where there are kuffar all around, where you don't even know the rules of masjid, this is how you see Islam is disrespected and dishonored. See, the masjid is a place that has its own rules. Non-Muslims cannot come inside a masjid. You cannot get non-Muslims to come there. Even if you stop them from coming, if you build a masjid in America, you need to get it inspected. The inspectors are non-Muslims. The fire marshal is non-Muslim. The AC repairman is a non-Muslim. If any non-Muslim is going to come, if the AC breaks down, if there's no Muslim to fix it, then stay without an AC. If you need your building permit to be renewed, if there's no Muslim, then sorry, you have to close it down. That is the rules of a masjid. And hence you see, the Prophet also taught us, do not build masjids where they're going to be dishonored. Masjid is a place of sajda. Do not build them where it's going to be dishonored, disrespected. Before you build masjids, build Islamic centers where you can invite non-Muslims to come in. Darul Arkam was the first Islamic center. It was by Mount Safa, the house of Arkam, or the companions of the Prophet at that time. His house was big enough, so he said, we'll all meet there. The Prophet used to go there and give lectures. They used to come there to pray. They used to come there to meet. That is where all Muslim activities happened until the Hijrat was made. Until the Hijrat of the Prophet, all Muslim activities happened there. In that house. And all meetings used to happen there. All prayers used to take place there. Everything used to happen there. Especially the first 3 years. The first 3 years. And you see, all these 3 years, the Prophet, now, when he appointed that place, now you see 3 years went by, and from there the work took the shape. The propagation took shape, and 3 years had gone by. When you see that the order came from Allah. The order came from Allah to now propagate the religion openly. Allah said, Fasda bima tu'mar. He says, declare openly what you have been commanded to. Declare openly. Wa'arid anil mushrikeen. And ignore the mushrikeen.
Alhamdulillah.
Ignore the mushrikeen. Turn away from them. Right? And then he says, وَكَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِيِينَ. And we are enough for you as a protector against those who will ridicule you. We are enough as a protector. You don't need anyone else. We will protect you. You still are a minority. But now you're ready. Declare it openly. Now the Prophet had the order to declare Islam openly to the people. Declare it openly, he said. And hence, you see that when the order came, the Prophet again waited for Allah to give him directions. What should we do? Then Allah sent the ayat that we all know and heard many times before, which is the ayat which is about the incident of Dawat-e Zul-Ashira, where Allah says in the Quran, "Anzir ashiratakal muqarrabin, aqrabin." Inform your relatives first. Inform your relatives. The first place that Islam starts, right? After you go to those people who are bright and extremely intelligent, who came to Islam, the first method of openly propagating Islam is first to your own relatives. To your own relatives. And hence, he was asked to go to his relatives. And hence, now he has to invite them. Now how are you going to do that? Because you come from a tribe that is in a leadership position. You have relatives who are the leaders of the mushrikeen. How are you going to say the message of Tawheed to them? So the Prophet had asked Imam Ali, who was 14 years old then, that go and invite the relatives to come. And this was in a place that was owned by Abu Talib, Shebe Abu Talib. He said, invite our relatives to come there. Alright? So, you know, he went and invited everyone that we are having lunch with us tomorrow, right? That Muhammad ibn Abdullah has invited you for lunch. So he said, yeah, alright everyone. He told Imam Ali that go and get a leg of a lamb and 6.5 pounds of bread. 6.5 pounds of bread, a leg of lamb, and a glass of milk. They made the bread from the wheat that was 6.5 pounds. They made the bread. There was one leg of lamb that was cooked and a glass of milk. And the relatives came and there were 40 of them. 40 men came. They came and they looked at what's going on. Now they looked at the table and saw there's a leg of lamb, some bread, and a glass of milk. Now the first person to make a comment was Abu Lahab. You know, Abu Lahab made the first comment and said, you invited us to eat and what? Are you going to make us go hungry? He said that I can eat this food myself. Each one of us can eat this food ourselves. And you want us to all eat this? The Prophet said, be patient. Alright? Let everyone come, this and that. So now they're all hungry, you know, because you know they invited for lunch. So they're hungry also. They want to get to the food, you know, and obviously they're seeing that the food is less, so, you know, now everyone wants to attack the food first so that they're not the ones looking for the food to be left over. So the Prophet put his hand on the food and said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Now when he said that line, everyone was agitated. What? Bismillah, what's that? You know, he said, I mean, no Lat, no Uzza, no Hubul, no nothing, you know? Nothing like that. I mean, what's that? You know, just like that? You know, but they didn't want to argue because they were hungry. Right? They didn't want to argue because they were hungry. So they started eating. Everyone was being served and they started eating. The Prophet announced it for everyone to eat to their fill. And he emphasized to Abu Lahab, you know, I want to make sure that you eat your fill. You know, so they all started eating and all are eating. In the end, the Prophet took the food and he also ate. They're looking that, you know, the food has been served to all the people and still the Prophet has leftover and he's eating. And they all ate and they're full. And you see, the same amount of food that was cooked at the beginning is left over. Now, when everyone, yeah, they saw this, right? It wasn't something that's hidden or anything like that. So Abu Lahab made the comment that, you know, he has learned some new magic tricks, right? He has learned like magic tricks, you know, this and that. And obviously he mentioned magic. You see that after that, the Prophet didn't say anything. They all ate and the Prophet let them leave. He let them leave. He didn't say anything. Prophet did not say anything. He didn't announce anything, didn't say anything. Right? He didn't even initiate any conversation about Islam. He invited them and you see that happened and they left. After they left, Imam Ali asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, I mean, why didn't you inform them of the message? He said that Abu Lahab spoke of magic. And I did not want to speak of Islam in a gathering where the tone of the gathering had already changed to magic. See, the tone of the gathering now, when magic has been mentioned, then everyone will be like, magic, Islam, now you're mentioning Islam, you're mentioning magic, and it will be a joke. It will be a joke. So he never said anything, he just let them go. And by doing that, he taught us something. Mm. He explained to us something that we must also understand. That you see, in propagating Islam, in speaking of Islam, not only does the message have to be right, but the forum also has to be right. Where are you giving the message? That also has to be right. If the forum is entertainment, then your message will never be taken seriously. If you are invited by the media, if you are invited by Oprah to come and speak about Islam, say over 20 million people watch her, and you go on her show to tell Islam to the people, they will view it in the same way that they view the rest of the crap that comes there. Jerry Springer or any one of these people. Daytime talk show host, right? To them it's an entertainment, right? One day they're gays, the next day they're Muslims. Right? Gays are giving message one day, racists are giving a message the other day, and the third day the Muslims come and say Islam. You see, my friend, understand this. How the Prophet explaining to us, when the forum is not right, do not even speak about Islam there. Just go away from there. Let it go away. Why? Because Islam must be made clear. Islam has to be made clear that when Islam is mentioned, it should be mentioned in a gathering where it is taken seriously. This is why, my friend, understand it. If the media invites you and say that, okay, you want to say about Islam, come over here and speak about Islam to us. If they invite you, then you see the same lies that are saying every day. Now when you put Islam in the same category, now you Islam will be also associated with all the lies that have been said on the same programs. No, that is not the forum for Islam. That's why the Prophet, when he heard about magic from Abu Lahab, he let it go. He said, no, Islam will not be mentioned here. Islam will not be mentioned now in this gathering, that this tone of the gathering has changed to entertainment. It has been changed to entertainment. Now Islam will not be mentioned here. And he let them go, so they went. And he told Imam Ali, go and invite them again tomorrow. And next time when they come, I will speak before Abu Lahab. Okay. So then he went there. He went there, he invited them again, and the same thing happened. They saw the leg of lamb, they saw the bread, they saw the milk. And they all ate, and still at the end the food remained. The food remained at the end. And now before anyone could speak, the Prophet now mentioned to them. And now he started off. First of all, he started off by asking them three questions. He asked them three questions. And these are very important questions that we must also understand before we speak about Islam 21. He asked them the question that, have I ever lied to you? Said, have I ever lied to you? What is wrong with you? I said, no. I said, no, you never lied to us. We never knew you to ever lie to anyone. Okay. Have I done anything that has harmed you in any way? Have I done anything that has harmed you in any way? I said, no, you have always been a well-wisher for us. You see? Again, this is the second question he asked. And the third question he asked is, if I tell you that you are in imminent danger, would you believe in me? I said, of course. Right. See, three questions. Have I ever lied to you? No. Have I ever done anything that is going to harm you? No. Have I, or if I say that you're in imminent danger, would you believe me? He said, of course we will believe you. Three things, my friends. See, the message is coming later. But first, these three testimony from the same people that he's propagating to. And these three questions, first of all, solidified his character in the eyes of the people that he's propagating to. Understand what is going on. How this is happening. In order for you to speak about Islam, first your character has to be established. If you are lying, if you lie to the people, and you go to them and said, you know, for example, like, you know, if I want to say something to you, I said, have I lied to you before? And you said, yeah, yeah, you know that day you lied to me. I mean, my message is finished, right? It's over. And what else I want to say to them? Right? If I tell you that, if you yourself are not going to believe in me, what's the use of the next thing now? You see, the next message is depending on this character. The whole message is depending on character. This is what the Prophet is establishing before the message is even given. First, the character must be established. If the character is not established, with what tongue are you going to give this message? With what face are you going to give this message to the people? Yeah, you know, I'm a criminal and I've done this wrong and I've done this wrong, but I'm telling you the truth now. But yeah, sure. Understand this. This, the message the Prophet is trying to give depends on his character. That's why he said, did I ever lie to you? They all testified, never. Did I do anything to harm you? He said, no, never. You've always been our well-wisher. By establishing his character, now the message has weight. Now the message has weight. Not if I say something after you accepted the fact that I am honest, truthful, and trustworthy. Now if you don't accept me, then it's going to make you look dumb, not me. You know, I never lied to you. I've been trustworthy all my life. Now if you don't accept it, right, you're the one who looks stupid. So now, after testifying, after making them testify to his character, then the Prophet said, all right, I have just shown you the miracle of Bani Israel. You know, you all heard about the miracle of Jesus in the Last Supper. I have shown you the miracle that he has done in front of you. Right? Establishing himself that, listen, this is the continuation of the message now. Right? Jesus showed the miracle, Allah showed through him the miracle of the Last Supper where the food came from heaven. And they all ate and it was still not finished. He says, I have shown you that miracle with a leg of lamb and a glass of milk and some bread. Now, you see, he made a relationship now. This is very important, my friend. He made a relationship to what? To the revelation of Allah through the history of mankind. You see, the Prophet is established by saying this. He has established that, listen, I am not someone new who's coming with something new. The same message that has come to all of mankind before is the same message I'm bringing to you. You see, by this he has explained, my friends, understand this, that the message of truth is a continuation of the truth, not something new that is coming. If you are truthful, then it should be a continuation of what has been given to all the prophets, not something new that you brought up. Understand this, my friends, very important. You see, Jesus, when he came, he said, I came to fulfill the law of Moses. Right? I came to fulfill the law of Moses. Now, friends, you know, we have been knowing Christians for so long. Right? And I want you to understand this very well. Right? From here, understand this. The question is, if you are truthful, then Jesus will say the same thing that Moses did and all the prophets before he did.
Yes, if I do that.
Right? So now, if you say that, no, Jesus came to show a different way than the rest of the prophets, because after the trial and error of all the prophets, God understood this was an error, and now he's changing the method by sending the salvation through Jesus. See, understand this, my friends. What happens? If Jesus is truthful, if your message is truthful, he will be the same thing. So, Abraham did something, Moses did something, all of the prophets before were on one path, and right away Jesus came and changed that path and made a different path.
Yes, teach us.
You see, if the truth is being told, then understand the same thing that happened before must happen now. The truth cannot change like that. I mean, one thing, Allah is trying something, it didn't work. Okay, let me change the way. These people are going to hell. These people are going to hell. My trial, has failed. And not because of me, because of the people. You know? No, it's not because of the people. It's your misunderstanding of the people. You see, when they say that, no, it didn't happen because of God, it happened because the people were bad. Well, what? He didn't know that? He's the creator. He didn't know that from before. If I understand this, this is very important. Now, if someone else comes now today, as a Muslim, if he comes today and says, listen, I have a new way. What do you mean you have a new way? See, the best of mankind was the Prophet. If the Prophet didn't have a new way, who are you to have a new way?
Muhammad, Muhammad.
If the best of mankind, when he came and said that I'm here to show you the same thing that has been said before, but in a more perfected form. So that you understand it. If I'm here to show you that, then who are we to now say that, you know what? This is not working out. All these people are wrong and Qom and this and that. I'm making my own thing here. No. There has to be a relationship going all the way back. If there's cut off anywhere, then it means there's something wrong there. Right? So now when he made that relationship between the past and the present, now he says that Allah has sent me. Allah has made me a messenger. There's only one God. He has made me is Allah. He's made me a messenger. And I came to you with a message to tell you that the path you're walking on is going to take you to the hellfire. You see, again, look at the ayat that came down. If you look at the ayat, when he was first asked to inform the people, he says, "Qum fa'anzir," stand up and warn. And here, فَأَنْذِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, warn your relatives. There's no good news. There's no happy tidings. Nothing. Warning. You see, again, the same thing Allah is mentioning. Warn them. Don't give them any good news. They don't deserve good news. I mean, he should have. If it was more diplomatic, he would have come on and say, listen, you know, I came with good news of the path that leads you to heaven. He said, no, I came to warn you that the path you're on is going to the hellfire. If you want to save yourself from that, then accept God and me as the messenger. Now, friends, now we have to give some room for those people who are sitting there. I mean, these people for centuries have been worshipping idols and this is their gods and that's it. Now, all of a sudden they hear this, so at first they're like stunned. They don't know what to say. I mean, what do you say to such things? You know, it's like something new out of the blue, you know, something just came up, right? So no one had anything to say. They're just like looking at him and they're looking at each other. What's going on here? Right? What is going on here? So the Prophet then, he didn't give a big speech or lecture. He just said, listen, believe in God and you will be successful. Say La ilaha illallah and you will be successful. Right? And then he ended off by saying that, listen, no Prophet came without a successor.
Teach us.
No Prophet came without a successor. So, I am now offering you. I'm offering you now. If you believe in me and accept my message right now, I will make you my successor, my representative, and the one who will fulfill my obligations after me. I'm giving you this chance. Now obviously, as I said, everyone is stunned already and they're looking at one another and they don't know what to say. So Imam Ali stood up and said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I accept your message. You know, the Prophet said, Ali, sit down. You don't see your elders are here?
Teach us.
These people have whiter hair than you do. You're just a kid. Give them the chance. Right? Give them the chance. You see, don't be like this. I mean, have some respect for your elders. The Prophet did this a lot with Imam Ali. Right? He did this a lot with Imam Ali. You know, he always said to Ali, you know, sit down. You know, give others a chance. And, you know, maybe the wisdom behind it, and the wisdom, if I look into it, and I'll see that, you know what? Really, if he had not said that, then today, everyone will say Ali was just a kid. You know, in his excitement, he got up and said it. That's why he said it. You know, understand? That's why he said it. Otherwise, you know, he really didn't mean it. Right? If others had a chance, they would have said it also. Right? So that's why the Prophet said, Ali, sit down. These people shouldn't complain afterwards, I didn't give them a chance. The same thing the Prophet did in every other time where there was an option of anyone else. Right? You see that? In Khaybar, what happened? The Prophet gave everyone a chance. More than Imam Ali. He said, here, take the flag. As long as you want until you get tired. They went, tried, they got tired, they came back, said, we lose hope. We quit. I quit. And everyone said, I quit. Then he gave Ali the chance. Right? In Khandaq also, when Amr ibn Abdul came forward. Right? Ali said, I'm here, Rasulullah. He said, Ali, sit down. Or see someone else. Right? Now let's see someone else come forward. Right? No one did. And why? Because he wants to give others chances. He knows that he's going to go out anyway. See, that's always the plan. But he wanted to give chances to everyone. So no one can ever say after this that they never had the chance, otherwise they would have done the same thing. This is the reason why you see that Ali stood up and said, Ali, sit down. Your elders are here, your uncles, your father. Here, let me give them a chance. And you know what? No one answered. And so then Ali again stood up again, and the Prophet said, alright, you are my successor, my representative, and the caretaker of my obligations after me. Right? He gave that. Right? And this is, my friend, understand this. What is this? This is a promise the Prophet is making. He made a promise. You know, he said, who's going to accept me? Right now, I'm going to make him the successor. So Ali stood up. He gave that promise that, yes, you are my successor. My friends, understand it from here, that the Dawat of Zul Ashira, right, is the only proof we need that Ali is the successor of the Prophet. It is the only proof that you need. Why? Because if the Prophet had promised, then if he's Allah's prophet, he cannot break that promise. So if he did not appoint Ali, then he has broken his promise, and that means he's not Allah's prophet. So if you want, if you say that there's someone else who's a successor other than Ali, then it means that you have to put doubt or cast doubt on the prophethood of the Prophet.
Ya Allah!
Ya Allah!
Doubt his prophet because he cannot be Allah's prophet. Because someone else became the successor. But you see, wait a minute. He promised there. Right? He broke his promise just like that? You see, this is my friend, understand. The history of the Prophet, the history of the succession of the Prophet starts at the beginning of the message, not at the end. Right? Starts at the beginning of the message. From the beginning, he said, no Prophet came without a successor. No messenger came without a successor. And hence, you see, if the Prophet came, he came with his successor with him. Right? And this is why you see the first event that happened was Dawat-e-Zul-Ashira. Right? Dawat-e-Zul-Ashira. Inshallah, next time we will go into the second event that happened right after this. We will go into that event, what happened after that, where he now starts his propagation to the general masses. How he started that and what is it that happened with the things that went on after he made the announcement. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Please recite a Surah Fatiha for Mumtaz Begum and Akhtar Hussain. One Fatiha and three times Qul Huwallahu Ahad for their souls.